So this is the fifth share in this series, as it were, and we're dealing tonight with the mitzvah hadlakat haner on Shabbat. And let's start by looking at a Gemara in the second perek of Masechet Shabbat, perek Bamei Madlikin. It's one of these interesting things. The Mishnayot make an assumption. They make an assumption that we light Ner Shel Shabbat. As it doesn't actually say that there's a chiyuv to light Ner Shel Shabbat. We'll see a reference to it in the Gemara now. And it's just kind of interesting that there are certain things in Shas, particularly in the Mishnah, that are just taken as granted without actually saying you have this mitzvah to do. That's, again, the mitzvah Kriyat Shema. That's this discussion about, having to do it, but it doesn't say that you have to do it. Of course, mitzvah Kriyat Shema is in the Torah. The mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, Ner Shel Shabbat, isn't. My Tama, now the Gemara, or the Mishnah said there are various types of shmanim that one's not allowed to use for the Ner Shel Shabbat. And the Gemara asks, what's the reason? Amar Rav, mitoch she reichora, it smells foul. Gezeira shema yanichena v'yitze, and we're worried that perhaps you might just abandon it and go out. So the Gemara says, Amar le abaye v'yitze. So, no, what's the big deal? So let him go. If it smells bad, then go into another room. That sounds a sensible thing to do. Amar le, sha'ani omer hadlakat ner b'shabbat chova. So he says, because I hold that hadlakat ner on Shabbat is a chova. If it's a chova, then you have to do it. You can't just leave the ner. That's presumably the mitzvah of hadlakat ner b'Shabbat isn't just to light the ner, but it's also to benefit in some way from that ner. Now, if we look at Rashi tells us really two things. Rashi tells us it's a chova, kvod Shabbatu. It's a function of giving honour to Shabbat. Shein suda chashuva lebemakom or. Because we have to have a suda chashuva on Shabbat. We learned 2 weeks ago about the mitzvah of suda Shabbat. And for it to be a suda chashuva, you can't eat in the dark. That's you need to be able to see. You always enjoy your food more when you can see what it is. That, unless it's so bad that you enjoy it more when you can't. But essentially, we assume that that's what enhances it. Okay, and your mama, you see a meal better in the day. And that's we learn out in the Perek Batra Diyoma. But further on in the Sugya, Rashi also makes the observation, Hadlakat Ner B'Shabbat, Shelo Hayamimah Lahadlik, U'makom She'ein Ner Ein Shalom, Cha'holech V'Nichshal V'Holech Ba'afela. So he makes a further observation that it's not just a function of Kavod Shabbat, but it's also what the Poskim talk about as being a function of Shalom Bayit. That if you spend Friday night tripping over the furniture, then firstly, it's uncomfortable for you. And I suppose in the classic sense of Shalom Bayit, if you've got members of the family and everybody's tripping over chairs and dirty laundry and whatever it is that might have been left around the house on Friday afternoon, everybody's getting annoyed at everybody else, and it doesn't make for a very tranquil atmosphere on Shabbat. So, already from that sugya and from Rashi on that sugya, we see two aspects to Ner Shel Shabbat, Shalom Bayit, and a notion of Kavod Shabbat. Now, if we look in the Rambam in Perek Hay says as follows. Hadlakat ner b'Shabbat ein rashut imratza madlik ve'imratza ein madlik. So it's not optional. V'lo mitzvah she'inu chayav lirdof achareha, and it's not a sort of a mitzvah that, well, you should do, but if you can't do it, you don't have to worry too much about it. Al she'yasena kagon eruvei chatzerot on tilat yadayim la'achila. These are things which are mitzvot, but if the circumstances don't lend themselves to it, then you don't have to do it. Ela chova, it's obligatory. Even though it's the women who generally like the Ner Shel Shabbat, it's not a mitzvah that's incumbent only on women, it's incumbent upon everybody. And everybody has to have ner daluk b'shabbat. Afilu einob ma yochal, shoel ha-psachim, lokech shemen u'madlik et ha-ner, shezeh b'klal oneg shabbat. So there's a function of oneg shabbat, even if you're very poor, you have to make sure that you have ner shel shabbat. V'chayev v'varech kodem hadlaka, baruch atah Hashem alkeinu melech olam, shekin shalom tzultah b'tzivan, l'hadlik ner shel shabbat. So that's kind of a little bit of a chiddush. This isn't the sugya to discuss it in, but it's, you know, Ner Shel Shabbat is a rabbinic institution. So why is it that we say a bracha of our Sheikh Yishanu? So that's a sugya elsewhere, and because of the mitzvah of Lotasor, essentially. But that's not our subject for now. In any event, the Rambam is telling us that it's a chobah, you have to have the Ner Daluk, and it's a function of Oneg Shabbat. However, if we sit looking at Perek Lamed, so right at the end of Hilkot Shabbat, the Rambam tells us slightly differently. Masader Adam Shulchan Ober Shabbat, V'afal Pi She'inu Tzarech El Chzayit. So you have to lay the table Friday night, even though you're not going to eat a lot. V'chei Masader Shulchan Ober Motzei Shabbat, V'afal Pi She'inu Tzarech El Chzayit. Likewise, on Motzei Shabbat, Kedei Lechabdo Bichnisato Vitziato. So you have kavod for Shabbat, both at the beginning and at the end. Tzarech L'takim Bayit Mibo'od Yom Mipnei Kavod Shabbat. So you need to tidy up the house on Friday afternoon, so that when Shabbat comes in, it doesn't look like a hurricane has hit it. V'yene Daluk V'Shulchan Aruch U'Mita Mutzat. And you have to have the lamp burning, a Shulchan Aruch, or at least a laid table, umitam utzat, and the beds made. Primarily, we're talking about the couches downstairs, so it looks neat and tidy. Shekol eilu lichvod shabbatein. All this is a function of kavod shabbat. So now, what we're seeing in the Rambam, also we're seeing there are two aspects to the mitzvah of hadlakat haner. Perek hay, he's told us that it's a din in oneg shabbat, and in perek lamed, he's told us that it's a din in kavod shabbat. So the question is, what's the relationship between the two? Is it one mitzvah with two aspects to it? Is it kiyum in two mitzvot? How we space it on egg? Or is it kavod l'may nafkamina? So let's see a number of ways of understanding it, and then we'll take questions if there are any questions. So let's start with the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan says, Tzarech lomad d'tarvayu itnehu. In actual fact, there are two distinct aspects to the mitzvah of hadlakat haner on Shabbat. D'v'makom she'ochlin hava mikavod Shabbat uv'sharei chadarim hu me'oneg Shabbat. So we conventionally think about the mitzvah of hadlakat haner as being, you know, the silver candlesticks on the dining room table. But in actual fact, the mitzvah of hadlakat haner isn't limited to the Shabbat table. It actually applies throughout the house. And we saw that notion perhaps in Rashi as well, where, you know, Rashi said you don't want, you know, holech v'nichshal v'holech ba'afela. If you're just sitting at the dinner table, you don't need to worry about bumping into things around the house. You need light at the table. That's right, the first Rashi. And then you also need light around the rest of the house. So the Aruch HaShulchan is saying that at the table, it's a function of kavod Shabbat, that you enhance the meal by having light. V'sharei chadarim hava me'oneg Shabbat. And everywhere else, it's not so much kavod Shabbat, but it's just to make Shabbat a pleasurable experience. Shelo yikashel ba'lichato sham, so that when you're walking around, you don't trip over things. V'zeh sha'amru sham v'atiznach v'shalom nashin, zeh adlakat ner b'Shabbat. D'kishiyesh ner yesh shalom. Where there's light, then there's tranquility. V'lo yikashlu lipol. And people won't fall and trip. So there are two dimensions, two aspects to this mitzvah. That's, you know, just so that, you know, we've got a mitzvah of Oneg Shabbat in any event. So, like what we said, bracha on the Hadlakat HaNer just because of Oneg Shabbat, or mitzvah Kavod Shabbat, just saying bracha, we said bracha on the Hadlakat HaNer for it just to have candles on the table, but because it's got two aspects to it, Kavod and Oneg, so it merits a bracha. But what the Aruch HaShulchan is saying is that different locations are fulfillments of different aspects of the mitzvot of Shabbat. It's interesting, in Shulchan Aruch HaRav, which you haven't got in front of you, but Shulchan Aruch HaRav says exactly the same thing as the Aruch HaShulchan, just the other way round. The Shulchan Aruch Harav says that it's Oneg Shabbat to have candles at the table and Kavod Shabbat to have them everywhere else in the house. That's, I suppose, the notion of, you know, we understand the Karat and Shabbat Oneg is, you know, part of the mitzvah of the Sudot of Shabbat is a Kiyum in Oneg, and therefore makes sense perhaps to say that the candles that are there at the table is a function of Oneg, and everywhere else it's Kavod. It doesn't really matter which way round particularly you're going to learn it. The point is that there are two distinct mitzvot of Kavod and Oneg, each of which we're Mekayim with a fulfillment of the Ner Shel Shabbat, and there and different places in the house have different dimensions to this. Let's just go through this and then we'll pick up if there are any questions. That's at the end of this section. So that's the Aruch HaShulchan and the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. Sefer Machzik Bracha of the Chida says it differently. Ve'ef Shali Yashev Ki Oneg Shabbat Udavar Nosaf Al Min HaKachol. What's the definition of Oneg Shabbat? The definition of Oneg Shabbat is what you do during the week, but in an enhanced way. So let's look at Perek Lamed in the Rambam. Din Zayin, we haven't seen that. Ezeu Oneg Shabbat, Tavshil Shamein Biyoter, Umashke Mevusam. What's the Oneg Shabbat? It's high-fat foods and fizzy drinks. That's or whatever it is. Meaning, you always have food, but on Shabbat, you have an enhanced type of food. That's something which is not good for your arteries. Ve'imke, or your waistline. Ve'imkein, beferek ha'ire, ba'ani shitzarek lisholan aptachim. So the Chida thinks that in Perek Hay, the Rambam is talking about an ani, a poor person, and he mentions that. That's who's dependent on people's charity, ulahadlik, ve'imkein, zeh kol yumei ani rav, holech chashechim b'leile hachol, an ani, the whole week round, he sits in the dark. That's, he sits in the dark and uses the moonlight. V'atah b'leil Shabbat, bit difficult to read this this bad printing, but Lotaos nafshol lishol ulahadlik. That so for Leil Shabbat he's going to go knock on somebody's door and get candles to light. Vazech lohu oneg. So as far as he's concerned, that's a function in oneg Shabbat. That's usually he sits in the dark, and on Shabbat he's going to have light. Shu davar nosaf al yomotachol. During the week it's dark, and on Shabbat it's light. Umshemhaki katav Rambam. Sham Pereke, Gabe Oneg, Shezer Bichlal Oneg. Sorry, Gabe Ani, Shezer Bichlal Oneg. For an Ani, it's a function of Oneg Shabbat. Dilidide Oneg, who vitosefek tovar le lehachol. During the week, it's dark. On Friday night, it's light. That's Oneg. On number of Bnei Adam Shemadlikin, Bechol Leilotachol. That's, so for most people during the week, they also have light in the house. That's, kavod shabbatu, and therefore to have light already lit before Shabbat comes in, that's a function of kavod shabbat, and perhaps to have tosefet or to have more candles than usual. So the Chida is saying that it's really, it's not different places in the house, but it's looking at different people. An ani who's usually in the dark during the week, then his oneg shabbat is to have light. That's everybody else, we have light anyhow during the week. But on Shabbat, we have an additional mitzvah of Kavod Shabbat. We light candles in advance of Shabbat, a way of welcoming Shabbat. Perhaps we have more candles, and that is the Kavod Shabbat. Now, the third way of understanding the Chiluk, and the Chida hinted at it, is the Gris or the Grach. It's brought different places as in the name of different... some ring it down in the name of Reb Chaim, some ring it down in the name of Reb Velvela. A lot of these briskatoras are, you know, family briskatoras, and some people heard it from Reb Chaim, some people heard it from the Grizz, maybe they were both Mechadish separately, who knows, but it's certainly a briskatora. So in the first part here, he just spells out the question as we've seen it, that That's so in the third line, he says, "L'shon Harambam Sarakiyun Sheveferik Hey Katav Adin Hadlaka Nedavka B'Shabbat Veferik Lamed Katav Shachiyuv Hadlaka Humi Ba'od Yom." So he's pointing out an additional thing that we didn't flag up yet, that in Perek Hey, the mitzvah of Hadlakat Haner seems to be that it's on Shabbat, and on in Perek Lamed, it's a din of Sarek L'Takein Beitzon Mibba'od Yom Mipnei Kavod HaShabbat. Seems to be in advance of Shabbat. So part of it is before Shabbat, and part of it is on Shabbat. V'od kasha'a mashi katav Mibba'od Yom, ha'in sha'ach hadlaka b'Shabbat, devadai Sarek L'Mibba'od Yom, kevan sheShabbat asur lahadlik. How can you do, you know, why is the Rambam telling us you've got to light the candles before Shabbat comes in? Obviously you've got to light the Shabbat candles before Shabbat comes in. I mean, I did know somebody once who believed that she was very strict about lighting Shabbat candles, always after the time published in the Jewish Chronicle, is the time of Hadlakat Neirot. She believed that, you know, you light Shabbat candles on Shabbat. She thought that was the earliest time. So she wouldn't listen to anybody. So told her that it's the other way round. No, you light Shabbat candles on Shabbat. In any event, that's not the normative understanding of Halakha. So why is the Rambam telling us that you have to light them beforehand? Obviously. So, in actual fact, we've got two separate dinim here, in good brisker fashion. The v'chiyuv hadlaka yeshni dinim chada mishum oneg Shabbat, v'gam mishum kvod Shabbat, clearly reflecting two aspects. Peim chalukim b'dinehem, and they've got different dinim. The din oneg shayach b'Shabbat atzmo, chumo shar dinim shen oneg, chumo achil ashtia. The din of oneg is something which applies on Shabbat. Masha'ein came b'din kvod Shabbat. The din of kavod Shabbat is different. Shachiyuv hu kvami ba'od yom. The way that you're makayin the mitzvah of kavod Shabbat is to do things in advance of Shabbat. Shozo gam kein b'klal kvod Shabbat. The gamim yitzuyah, so what would be a nafkamina? Im yitzuyah hadlaka b'Shabbat atzmo, eino mitkayim bazeh din kvod Shabbat. Let's say you could somehow or other you could light lights on Shabbat itself, that then you're fulfilling the mitzvah of Oneg Shabbat, but you're not fulfilling the mitzvah of Kavod Shabbat. So in actual fact, this was written before time switches. But we'll see in due course discussion about electric lights. But let's, for the sake of argument, let's imagine or say that electric lights are acceptable as the Ner Shel Shabbat. Oh, so you put the electric lights on a time switch, and you have them to come on when you get back from shul on Friday night. They come on at, this time here, they come back at 4:30 in the evening. All right, 5:00, they come on, well after Shabbat's come in, when you come home. So now you've got Oneg Shabbat. You've got Oneg Shabbat, but you haven't got Kavod Shabbat. Kavod Shabbat is that when Shabbat comes in, everything is ready and waiting. So that would be a nafkamina. If you brought in Shabbat early, and then you were to instruct somebody else to light candles for you. So the din is that if I bring in Shabbat early, in the summer, I bring in Shabbat at 7:30, right? It's broad daylight, and my neighbours go to a different shul, and they don't bring in Shabbat till 8:30. So I come home, 8:20, and I realise I haven't lit the Shabbat candles. My neighbour's just on the way out to shul, so I can say to him directly, please, can you do this mitzvah for me? Can you do this malacha for me? I'm allowed to, there's no question about it, I'm allowed to ask them to do that. Can you come in and light my Shabbat candles for me? So that I've got Shabbat candles on the table when I eat my meal. So they can do that. I'll be mekayim the mitzvah of Oneg Shabbat, but I won't be mekayim the mitzvah of Kavod Shabbat. Because the mitzvah of Kavod Shabbat has to be done before Shabbat comes in. The other way round, let's say I were to light Hanukkah candles, you know, small Hanukkah candles before Shabbat comes in. By the time I get home from shul, they've burnt out. So it might be that, it's already Tiklai Regal Min Hashuk. We'll probably discuss this a bit next week. So they've burnt for half an hour. And they burnt into the dark. But, you know, after shul, there's a shir and Paddington Bear story and whatever it is. And till I get home, it's... It's half an hour after Nacht. The candle has just gone out, and now I'm going to sit down and eat my Shabbat meal. That's the Midin Oneg I haven't fulfilled. Din of Kavod I did fulfill. That's the Brisker Torah there. Okay, we had a couple of questions, Aaron, or we've addressed answered them.
Two things. One, nobody thinks that the Rambam is saying that Mikod Yom could be before plug.
No, correct.
Right, okay. It's Dafka between bug and Shkia.
Yeah.
That's what he said. Okay. And the other thing was, why does it have to be that it's one Hadlaka? Why, and why Dafka, are you making the Bracha on this, these two candles that I think, well, I don't know if we've done it yet or if we won't, but they seem to have to be on, either on the table or in some sort of central position, but yet not on my candle in the hallway that lights the way. Why do I not make the bracha on that?
Okay, so that's an interesting question. I mean, the simple answer is that in some cases you would. You know, if, for example, you're not eating at home, we'll discuss this later on, but if you're not eating at home, so still, ideally, you should light candles at home. That's, you know, if you're going out for dinner to somebody else, you can, as a push, light Shabbat candles in their house, but ideally you should light candles at home. So, you know, whether you put them on the table or you put them in the hallway doesn't make a difference. It's just the, you know, on the table, you tick all your boxes. You know, those on the table, is Oneg and Kavod. That's, those around the rest of the house are only going to be one or the other. That's Ben.
No, I suppose the answer I always thought Kavod was before Shabbat, and it was on Shabbat, so I didn't understand the previous.
Okay, so you got the Brisker Lomdus in your blood then.
Well,
that's if that's what you always you know.
I assume that was one agreement.
No, I mean that's not necessarily, because I think there's certain aspects, you know, certain things you can do on Shabbat itself, which are a form of Kavod Shabbat. I think that wearing Kesut Nekiya on Shabbat is a form of Kavod Shabbat. Right? So there are certain aspects of...
You get dressed before Shabbat.
No, in Hakinami, but Shabbat day, you also have to put on, you know, Kesut Nekiya. That's as a din of Kavod Shabbat. That's... So, you know, Kavod Shabbat isn't, you know, normatively, we wouldn't say it's limited to, you know, to before Shabbat. I think the Brisker Chiddush is that the Ikar of Kavod Shabbat is, you know, is before Shabbat. Okay, let's... Yeah.
Are we going to address the fact that the Rambam says the Brach should be over
Siyatan? Yeah. That's, but, I mean, that's not such a big Chiddush, in actual fact. I mean, it's always with Brachot, you do the, it's over Siyatan. The cash is not on the Rambam, really. We'll deal with it, though. That's, a klal I always try to have, in the last, cohort, we lost focus, is try and hold the questions till the end, at least of the section, because you will hopefully find that many of them are answered as we go through. Let's start quickly looking at Reish Samach Aleph, Sif Aleph. But I actually meant Sif Bet. That's, so it's Reish Samach Aleph, Sif Bet. So Yesh Omrim, Shitzarek Losif Mechol Al HaKodesh. So there's a notion of Tosefet Shabbat. The Mechaber brings it as a Yesh Omrim, because the Rambam holds that Tosefet only applies with regard to Yom Kippur. We learn it out from the Pasuk V'initem in Ashotechem B'tishal HaKodesh Ba'erev, Me'erev Ad Erev V'chi B'tisha Mitanim V'alo Basiyu Mitanim. That's a whole sugi in its own right. Many Rishonim, perhaps most Rishonim, hold that the din of Tosefet applies whenever you have Kedusha, but the Rambam holds it only on Yom Kippur. That's why the Mechaber has it as Yesh Omrim. The Zman Tosefet is there, Hik Mitzkirat Hashkia, so when's the Tosefet? Okay, that you have to add. Tosefet is only relevant from Tchilat Hashkia, Shein Hashemesh Nireit Al Haaretz, which means once the sun's disappeared from view, Adzman Bein Hashmashot, until Bein Hashmashot, which is a later time. Vazman Hazer, Shehu Gimel Milin Uraviyah, So this period of time from when the sun disappears till Bein Hashmashot is the amount of time it would take to walk 3 mil and a quarter. Ratsa, which is 58 and a half minutes. Ratsa lasot or kulot osefet ose. Ratsa lasot mimenu miksat ose. You want to make all of it in tosefet? Great. You want to make just part of it tosefet? You can. Vadshe yosef eizis man sheyeh vaday yom mechol al kodesh. As long as you add at least part of the day, which is definitely going to be yom, so add to the kodesh. Veshuz by Bein Hashmashot to Gimel Rivei Mil, Shem Mahalech Elef Vtafkuf Amot, and then you've got a further amount of time it takes to walk 3/4 mil. We say that's 13.5 minutes. Kodem Halayla, and that's Bein Hashmashot. Bein Hashmashot is already Safek Yom Safek Laila, so you can't have that as your Tosefet. You can't light candles then. And then the Rama adds the Imrot Sen Lahakdim Lekabel Alav Hashabbat from Plag HaMincha Ve'ilach Harashup Yadu. If you want to bring in Shabbat early from Plag HaMincha, you can do that as well. Now we haven't got time to go through the Mishnah Brura here and the Bi'ah Halacha, important Mishnah Brura and the Bi'ah Halacha here, but basically what they point out is that the Shita of the Mechaber here is Shita Rabbeinu Tam. The Mechaber is following the Shita of Rabbeinu Tam that what we call Shkia, when the sun disappears from view, is of no relevance. The day's not over when the sun disappears from view. That day's not over until what they call the Shkia Shnia, which is 58 and a half minutes later. As a discussion, in the upper, a lot of discussion, how you measure those 58 and a half minutes, whether it's clock minutes, whether it's the Shalot Zmaniyot, how you measure Shalot Zmaniyot, etc., etc. There's a lot of discussion there, but the important thing is to note that the base position of the Mechaber is that 25 minutes after Shkia, you can drive your car, come home, take a shower, and light your Shabbat candles. The Mechaber is perfectly happy with that. Look in the Mishnah Brura, that's the Gaonim, and the Vilna Gaon, don't endorse that position. And the Mishnah Brura thinks that one should be careful to be choshesh to that opinion, and to not do malacha after the sun has disappeared from view. What's particularly interesting is that if you look carefully in the Mishnah Brura here and in Reish Samach Gimel, that he's not emphatic about it. He thinks that's correct, but he's certainly not emphatic about it. Just bear with me one moment. So an addition to Shabbat. You've got Shabbat.
Adding time.
That's extending Shabbat. Adding from the from the Chol to the to the Kodesh. That's So the Mishnah Brura is, he's not unequivocal about it, but he's very, feels very strongly that one should do this and follow the Shita of the Gaonim. That's, which is interesting, that seen from this, that in the time of the Mishnah Brura, which is not that long ago, that's, 120 years ago, something like that, not everybody was necessarily following the Shita of the Gaonim. Nowadays, if you were to, if you were to light Shabbat candles 25 minutes after Shabbat comes in, we'd chuck you off the smicha course as being somebody who's mechalel Shabbat b'far hesya. That's, I heard once from Diane Aarontroy that when the Minchat Yitzchak Diane Weiss came to Manchester as the Av Beit Din there, which is not that many years ago, as post-war, that the Hasidim were still following the Shita of Rabbeinu Tam. That's and bringing in shower, you know, driving their cars after Shkia. That's, and in actual fact, I mean, you know, it's well, certainly, I mean, you look in, you know, the Chatam Sofer's got a tshuva about, you know, a baby that's born, you know, 25 minutes after Shkia, yeah, you know, on Saturday evening. That's, you know, and he says to do the Brit next Shabbat. You know, that's still, you know, that's still definitely mid-bo'od yom. That's, you know, I think nowadays, if anybody did that, you know, the Moel would be disqualified as being Mechalel Shabbat, and the baby would need possibly Hatafat Dam Brit, because they've had the Brit too early. So it's kind of interesting, and in actual fact, that I saw somewhere a while back that it was a takana was made in New York in the 1950s, between the Litvish community and the Hasidic community, that they were talking that everybody would bring in Shabbat no later than 15 minutes before Shkia, and that nobody would take out Shabbat less than, I think, an hour. Less than an hour after Shkia, in terms of, because it was creating a zilzal in Shabbat, and people say, oh, well, you know, I see the Hasidim, they're driving after Shkia, you know, you can drive on Friday night, whatever it is. That's, but it's sort of kind of interesting, something which, you know, is, I don't know, every Jewish community in the world, but, you know, pretty much universally accepted as, you know, uncontested halacha now, that you can't bring in Shabbat after Shkia. You know, only two or three generations ago was somewhat contested. So some people are machmir in terms of Motzei Shabbat, you know, to wait till that time. But in the Bi'ur Halacha, he says even with Motzei Shabbat, once it's pitch black outside, you know, Shabbat is out. That's even if it's not 72 minutes Shalat Maniot. You know, it's so people, you know, still machmir sometimes, you know, to keep Shitat Rabbein in town. But the point is, you know, if it's pitch black out, the sky is full of stars, and you can't see a thing, you know, Shabbat is out. That's whether or not you've reached Shitat Rabbein Utam or not. So, anyway, that's a bit of background about the time of Hadlakat HaNer. Skip to Reish Samach Gimel, Se'if Aleph. Reish Samach Gimel, Se'if Aleph. Yehi Zahir La'asot Ner Yafeh. Need nice candles. So it's kind of interesting that the Mechaber doesn't see it as an automatic given that you light two candles. That's and it seems that it was a development within the Rishonim to light two candles. The Rambam doesn't mention lighting two candles. I'm using the term candles, it doesn't necessarily have to be candles. That's lamps, whatever it is. That's Yesh Mechavne, even Mechaber seems as, you know, Yesh Mechavne, there's some who do that. Of course, you know, we all do. That's, if you look in the Mishnah, in the Ramah, adds, Yicholim Lahosiv, Ulahadik Gimul Dal Neirot, V'chein Naku. People light more. Look in the Mishnah Berurah. Yesh Nogin Ladik Zayin Neirot Keneged Zayin Yemei HaShavua. Yesh Asara Keneged Asarit HaDibrot. That's Vein Srikin Yot Kulan Al Shulchan. So different people like different numbers. I did see somewhere even that some people like 36. I think I saw this in Rabbeinu Bechaya. I think on Parashat Bereishit. Some people like 36 candles. Why? Because the Or HaGanuz burnt for 36 hours, that's in the first Shabbat in Maaseh Bereishit, the sun didn't set. We mentioned this last week with regard to Haftalah. So it was sun rose on Friday morning, and it was daylight till Motzei Shabbat, so 36 hours. Old joke, that's why, you know, you can buy boxes of candles in 72, so it lasts you for 2 weeks. That's, interestingly, many people have a minhag that you like the number of candles and the number of children in the family. Anybody here have that minhag? That's many people seen it. Has no makor anywhere. Mm-hmm. That's search around. The best you'll find in some of the contemporary halacha books, they mention that some people have that custom. Nobody gives a none of the footnotes give a reference to it. I haven't seen any. I haven't seen it in any. Never mind primary source, even secondary source. That's
Jewish mothers.
That's it, isn't it? It's a nice minhag. That's but it's
it doesn't go against what you
no, it doesn't go against anything. But it's just like kind of interesting. That it's very widespread. That it's very nice. That's but no mention of it.
Why did Shimon Zachor wasn't mentioned by Rambam, but it's only mentioned here?
Because that's something that developed through the Rishon. Later Rishonim brought, or other Rishonim brought it. That's the Rambam presumably thought you just like one. That's, I mean, maybe, you know, some people, do, if you've got a big house, you probably lit more. But that just wasn't the minhag of the Rambam to light, for it to be necessary to light more than one. You can light as many as you like. There was another shita in the Rishonim. Then you look through the Gemara. Gemara only talks about, you know, the ner shel Shabbat. It's never talked about more than Neirot. So it's you know, something that appears, you know, in the first time in a certain strand of Rishonim. Important halacha. Ha'isha she'shachacha pam achat lahadlik, madlechet kol yameha gimul neirot. The woman forgets to light Shabbat candles 1 week. She has to light always the rest of her life. She has to light an extra candle. Ki cholin lohosif al davar hamukuvan neged davar acher. You can always add, but you can't reduce. So the Mishnah Brura quotes a Magin Avraham. If you look in Sif Katan Vazayin, he says, Marib shai tarugila vishnaim. Vim hai tarugila mitchila vishlosha shvicha lahalik kol yameh adalad. So she lit more, then she's got to add more. Every time she forgets, she's got to light another candle. She's going to be more careful if she knows that always she's going to have the extra candle. You say, oh, well, you got the extra candle. Oh, well, you know, I forgot. Now she's going to be more careful. So if she was circumstances beyond her control and she didn't light, so, interesting example of what an anus is. She was in the Beit Asurim. I don't know if that was she was visiting her husband or she was she was locked up herself. In either event, and she was unable to light, she doesn't have to add. So, of course, you know, he's given a rather radical definition of what a Nensa is. So I understand that Beit Asurim is Nensa, and I understand that if she was sitting on the couch reading Hello magazine, and that's why she didn't light, that's not Nensa. There is sort of a certain middle ground. That's, I had a case a while back. A woman phoned me quite distraught. That's, she'd forgotten to light Shabbat candles. What had happened Friday afternoon? I don't know, the baby was crying and then it had a dirty nappy. And she sat down on the couch, sort of just to calm the baby. And the next thing she knew was she woke up and it was half an hour into Shabbat and it was too late to light Shabbat candles. That's, you know, it was clear to me that was a case of anus. That wasn't shachacha. That's that she was, you know, doing something else and forgotten about it. You know, she was, I could tell from talking, she was, you know, exhausted. She had two young kids. She was absolutely exhausted. The house was a mess and everything. You know, the baby was crying and screaming its head out. She sat down to try and calm the baby. She'd fallen asleep. But I did say, notwithstanding, I did say that she should the following week light an extra candle. I didn't feel she needed to light an extra candle, not on Mayad. But I did feel that the minhag brought in the Rama needed to be recognised in some way. Look at the tshuva here of the Shevet HaLevi. So the Shevet HaLevi, Rav Vosna, he was a very significant posek in Bnei Brak, was nifter about 3 years ago, 3-4 years ago. He was nifter on Erev Pesach, I think, or I think Seder night, or just something, just before Pesach. That's So it addresses the question that a woman, she forgot to light Shabbat candles, but there was light in the house. The electric lights were on. So in terms of Oneg Shabbat, let us say, That was on Egg Shabbat. Actually, they weren't eating the meal in the dark. Is she still going to have to light another candle?
Light
Okay, we'll address that. Possibly not. It might depend on how we're going to understand. I mean, we're going to see a machloket as to whether or not electric lights can fulfill the mitzvah of Ner Shel Shabbat. But certainly in terms of kavod, oneg, you know, oneg is a totsa'ah rather than a maaseh. That's, you know, if we want to be really londish, you know, make a chiluk between, maaseh and totsa'ah. That's, so let's see. Makoma safek, the ha'ikar korpanim or babayit, shezi kashalom bayit. You're not going to be stumbling over the furniture. Hinei kashel lahashiv ma'ashim makor barishonim. So there's certain things which just, you know, aren't really discussed and don't really know the answer. Aval kach nireh dinikra shichecha l'inyan zeh, still thinks that's shichecha. Dal kol panim avraham mitzvat hadlakat haneh. She did miss doing the takana of chazal. Shehi mitzvat ha'isha b'myuchad. There is a requirement that you light candles or lamps, you know, lights for Shabbat, and that she hasn't done. It's true there was light, there was illumination, but she didn't do an act of lighting. Okay, fine, we don't need to go any further, but that's his concern, that seeing as she didn't do the mitzvah of Hadlakat HaNer, so then she would still need to light an additional candle. Okay, let's move on to Sif Hay and Sif Yud in Reish Samach Gimel, which addresses somewhat the question that James started to ask before. So, Sif Hay, Kishi Yadlik Yivarich Baruch HaShem Kuhn HaKlam, HaShem Yishan Mitzvot HaMitzvot, Lahadnik Ner Shel Shabbat. Echad HaIsh VeEchad HaIsha, whoever's lighting says this bracha, Kan B'Yom Tov Tzarich Levarich, Lahadnik Ner Shel Yom Tov, V'Yom HaKippurim, B'Lo Shabbat, there's a machloket. Okay. Says the Rama, Yesh Mishem Omer Shem Mevarichin Kodem HaHadlaka. So there are those who say that you'd say the bracha before you light. That's what the Rambam said. That's the pashtus of any mitzvah. Always do say the bracha or ve'lasiatan. It's very rare you do the mitzvah and then say the bracha afterwards. A couple of exceptions. Generally speaking, we say the bracha before we do the mitzvah. However, there are others who say no, you say the bracha after you've lit. Now why do you say it after you've lit? Because that's once you've said the bracha, that's bringing in Shabbat. Look at the Sif Katan Kaf Zayin in the Mishnah Brura. Surely, im tvarich have ki'ilu kibla le Shabbat befeirush v'shuv asura lahadlik. Once you've said the bracha, that's a declaration, as it were, that it's Shabbat, and now you can't light the candle. Then came, now, very significantly, for him came beyond Tov to Lo Shayach there. So on Yom Tov, of course, you can. You can't strike a match on Yom Tov, but once you've struck a match, you can then transfer the flame. So on Yom Tov, it's not relevant to Vareich. The Achakak Tadlik. On Yom Tov, first night Yom Tov, you strike the match, then say the bracha, and then light. For Daz HaMagin and Avraham de Lo Plug. Magen Avraham said, no, let's keep it simple. I always do it the same way. Otherwise, people are going to get confused. But many Achronim say, like he said at the outset. This is a very famous case, because this is brought up in the introduction of the Prisha to Yoredeya, where he quotes in the name of his mother. That's that his mother said that on Yom Tov you do it the other way round. And so, you know, it seems that the correct thing to do would be actually for a woman on Yom Tov night to say the bracha first and then to light, unless she's got a very emphatic minhag that her family minhag is to do as they do on Shabbat, and then, you know, leave her be. That's in any event. So we've got these two different opinions here in the Rama. So but you still got a requirement of El Asiata. Ukdeshe of El Asiato, lo yehenim imena ad lachar bracha. So don't, it's like kind of, it's not really changing it into a of El Asiato, but saying, don't get benefit till after you said the bracha. So masimin hayad lifnei haner achar dlaka umavarachin. So you put your hands in front of the candles after you said the bracha. Sorry, after you've lit, say the bracha. V'achakach masalkin hayad zemek mikri ovel asiya v'chein haminhag. And that, at least amongst Ashkenazim, is the minhag. I think amongst Sfardim, the minhag is to follow what the Rambam says. You say the bracha. And then you light. I have to say, logically, to me, the Fianut Dati, that makes a lot of sense. It's hard for me to really accept that saying the bracha on something that I haven't yet done is Kabbalat Shabbat. We're going to see in a moment, Bichlal and Machloket, whether or not lighting the candles is automatically Kabbalat Shabbat. So, first of all, this is going according to the Shita that it is. If we say that lighting candles isn't automatically Kabbalat Shabbat, then, you know, it's a moot discussion. But working on the assumption that lighting the candles is automatically Kabbalat Shabbat, it's hard to understand how that saying, Ashek Shalom Tzotavit Yivan Lahalik Ne'er Shel Shabbat, that's not a declaration of Kabbalat Shabbat. Okay, it's now I've lit the candles, Shabbat's in. That, so I did see somewhere, actually, that, of course, it's not the bracha that brings in Shabbat, but it'll be the act of lighting. And therefore, once you've lit the candle and you've still got the match in your hand, you're going to have a problem. That will be the problem. It's not the bracha. It's the fact you've got the match, and therefore, light before you say the bracha, and then it'll be the bracha which brings in Shabbat. That works a bit better, logically, because it's hard to say that the bracha itself will bring in Shabbat. But, oh, now I've lit the candles. I think still logically one could argue, as presumably the Rambam would, is that you finish that, so you fit, you know, I say the bracha, and then when I finish lighting the candles, then I brought in Shabbat. I suppose you've got the question, though, what stage have I finished? That's, you know, I've now both candles are alight. That, so I've still got the match in my hand. Can I wait 1 second? Can I wait 5 seconds? Can I wait 15 seconds? Wait 15 seconds, you've got burnt fingers. So that might be the question. The other thing is just to, by the by, you know, to mention is, you know, I've seen some women discuss, you know, that's, you know, are you supposed to do your hands three times? Do you do it bringing inwards, or do you do it that way? I don't want to say bubbermeisters. Who knows where it comes from? I know what the Rama says. Masimin hayad lifnei haner. That's what the Rama says. You put your hand like that.
You've never seen any makof. Someone asked me this recently, so I didn't know where.
I've never done that. You're supposed to do it three times, supposed to do it four times. They want to do it then fine. But, that's not a critical part of the mitzvah. So that's in Machloket, when to say the bracha. Flip, and you don't need to turn the page. Look now at Se'if Yud. Se'if Yud. So la bahag kevan shehidlik ner shel shabbat chalalav shabbat v'nesa bimlacha. So the bahag holds that lighting shabbat candles is also, besides the mitzvah of kavod and hachana for the mitzvah of oneg, it's also in itself, it is kabbalat shabbat. Val pizeh noagot katsat nashim shachash yeberuchu v'idlik ha'neirot mashlichot la'aretz ha'ptila. Right, so this is, remember, this is Shitim Lachabe, like the Rambam. You say the bracha, and then you light, and now you're stuck with the match. Right, so you just drop it. Drop it carefully. You don't want to drop it, so it'll go out as you're dropping it. You place it down. Shebiyadam. Shedlikuba. Vayim Lachabototah, they don't blow it out. The Yeshomrim, however, there are those who say, Sheim Titneh Kodim Shedlika, Sheinam Kabel at Shabbat, Ad Sheyomar Hazan Baruch Hu Moel. There's some who say that if she makes the Tanai, then it's effective. If she makes the Tanai that she's not bringing in Shabbat till a later stage, either till the Tibble bring it in or till she brings it in, then that's effective. Yishomim Sheinu Moel La. And there are those who say that a Tanai doesn't work. V'yesh cholkim al bahag, and then there are those who are against the bahag and say it's not Kabbalat Shabbat anyhow. For min shein Kabbalat Shabbat talu bahad lachazan there, ela b'tfilat arvit, shekevan shamar chazan baruch la'kol porshin mim lachtan, or ledidan kevan shetkilu mizmoshlim ha-shabbat, have kebaruch hu ledidu. So basically, either a beirash mashot, or if the Tzibul's davening early when the Tzibul brings in Shabbat, that's either with Baruch Hu or Mizmor Sheh, or as the Mishnah Berurah says, for us, Lechadodi, that's whichever way you have it. So we've really got three shitot here going from one extreme to another. We've got a view that actually candle lighting isn't Kabbalat Shabbat. Then we've got a view that candle lighting is Kabbalat Shabbat, but she can make a Tanai. And we've got a view that candle lighting isn't Kabbalat Shabbat at all. That's the Rama says, V'aminhag sh'otah isha hamad leket mekabelet Shabbat bahadlaka, im lo shetitne tchila, v'afilu Tanai b'leiv sagi. So the Rama says the minhag is that whoever's lighting the candles the woman who's lighting Shabbat candles, we'll see in a moment, the woman who's lighting candles, that does accept Shabbat with the Hadlakah, that unless she makes a Tanai, so accepting the Shita of the Bahag, but with the leniency that the Tanai works. Avar Shar B'nai Habayit Mutarim B'Mlachad Baruch Hu. That, now, if you look at the Mishnah Berurah, though, the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkatan Mem Dalad, Shetitna Techila, V'ein Lahatunot Kim Letzorech. That this Tanai you should only make if it's Letzorech. Me'acha Sheish Cholkim, the sovereign Delo Mahane Tanai, seeing as there's some Rishonim who hold, like the Bahag, and that a Tanai doesn't work. So it should only be Letzorech. Now the question is, how do we measure Letzorech? For different people, different things will be Letzorech. That's a question that sometimes comes up. Who wants to go to shul on Friday night? So she wants to light candles and then drive to shul. She'll make it tonight that she's not bringing in Shabbat till she's got to shul. It's hard to say that's really Letzorech. That's discussed in the Achron Shemar Shavakel Chata, discusses it, Rav Voldenberg, Tzitz Eliezer discusses it in the Shuva. What if a woman wants to go to the Kotel on Friday night? So she wants to go on the bus, ask to see the candles, or take a taxi, whatever it is. They opine that she shouldn't do that. Even though there's some sort of mitzvah there, that's not enough of a tzorech. What's a tzorech? A tzorech would be a classic example of tzorech is a woman who needs to go to the mikveh on Friday night. Right? So there, she wants to light candles and then go to the mikveh and maybe even do some of her preparations there at the mikveh. That's after she's lit candles. But certainly, might be, to travel to the mikveh. The mikveh, say, 40-minute walk from her house. So she's happy to make the walk home. But, to walk both ways, she doesn't want to do. And that would be regarded as Letzorech. And she should make a Tanai. For other things, it depends. Again, it might be that, something needing for the baby or something medical. I mean, you've got the question, why isn't she, do whatever it is you need to do. Do the Malacha and then light. And so she's at home, that's simple. If she's going somewhere else, it would be less poshut. Certainly Mishnah Berurah seems to indicate one shouldn't willy-nilly make such a Tanai. Now again, time's against us, so we won't look at the tshuva of Rav Sternbach in Tshuva Hanakot inside. He discusses the interesting question. Mishnah Berurah addresses it's in Sifkatan Mem Gimel. Look at Sifkatan Mem Gimel. He says that according to the Rama, when a woman lights the candles, so let's go back to Mem Bet. So Var Minhag. V'im ha'ish madlik, afin k'shu mevarich al hadlaka, toch le'el besifvav, leka min haga, mutabim lacha, mikom akom tov lahatnot. Okay? So, man lights, The minhag of men is not to accept Shabbat with the lighting of candles. It's kind of interesting, bearing in mind the Mishnah goes on to say that a woman shouldn't even, ideally shouldn't even make a tanai, because there's some rishonim choshesh to that. It doesn't make sense, really, to say that only women are, you know, if lighting the candles is Kabbalat Shabbat, then one would have thought that it would apply equally to men and to women, unless you say something like that it became de facto Kabbalat Shabbat for women because they don't usually daven Maariv, and therefore that's what's motivating the Bahag, whereas men who do daven Maariv, it didn't become de facto Kabbalat Shabbat for them. In any event, the Kabbalat Shabbat, the tit palel mincha tchila, she needs to daven mincha first. To odikvah kibla Shabbat, shuvi yeshel palel tfilah shel chol, mincha tfilah shel chol. Once Shabbat's in, she can't daven a weekday tfilah. Over Shain Shahutlas there, so what if it's she's running late, she hasn't got time to daven mincha. Yotetov she palel arvit shtayim, so she daven Maariv twice. That's rather than risk lighting the candles late. So that's not muskam l'chol adayot. That's what the Mishnah Berurah paskins, and many achronim do paskin that way. In Shuvah v'Hanagot, he makes the suggestion that one could say that there's two aspects of Kabbalat Shabbat. There's Kabbalat Shabbat in terms of Issur Melacha, and Kabbalat Shabbat in terms of Kedushat Shabbat. So it could be that one could argue that perhaps lighting candles is only Kabbalat Shabbat in terms of Issur Melacha. Once you've lit candles, then that's the last thing you do, the last Melacha you do on Friday afternoon is you light candles. Don't light candles, you don't do any malacha after that. Nevertheless, you haven't accepted, you know, the full Kedusha of Shabbat yet, and therefore it's still Friday. Right? It's still Friday. You've done something which is going to stop you doing malacha. It's still Friday. If it's still Friday, you can still daven mincha. That's, I have to say, the women in my family, they light candles and then daven mincha afterwards. That's my wife. If she's running ahead of time, then she tries to daven mincha before lighting candles. That's when I come home sometimes, she says, it was really good this afternoon. I daven mincha and then I lit candles. But very often it's the other way around. My daughters, they light candles and then come to shul and daven mincha in shul. I think there's good basis for that. In terms of that, and I think one could even argue that, I think I've seen a source for this, that I think one could even argue you've even accepted the Kedusha of Shabbat on you. You just haven't changed it into yet being the next day. You've accepted even the Kedusha, you've extended the sanctity of Shabbat, but it's still Friday, and a tefillah shel chol doesn't impinge on that. But certainly what Rav Sternbach suggests is that you can make this chiluk between Issur Melacha and the Kedusha of Shabbat. Right, let's move on, touch another couple of things. Okay, big question in the Achronim is the question of electric lights. Can you use electric lights for Ner Shel Shabbat? Very shyach, the person's in hospital, they don't want you lighting candles near the oxygen cylinders. Person's shyach in a hotel room. That's, you're not supposed to light candles. That's, you're on a cruise or something like that. All these sorts of places, they don't want people lighting candles in their rooms. So let's look at a tshuva of Rav Avadia Yosef. There's in Yechaveh Dat. He sums up a lot of the shitot. We won't go through the whole thing, but we'll go through the bits that we've marked up. So the question is: Haim yotzim yidei chovat hadlakat neirot shel Shabbat b'mo'or chashmal, or tzarek lahadlik neirot Shabbat b'shemin u'b'shava davka? So he quotes from the Beit Yitzchak, Rabbi Yitzchak Shmelkus. That's Pasak, who was about, I think, 200 years ago, something like that. Sheyotzi b'dei chovat hadlakat neirot Shabbat b'mo'or hachashmal. That's 19th century he was. That's that you can use So less than 200, 150 years, whatever, something like that. You can use electricity. Umuvarachim alav ashegin shamis voltavis v'an lahadik neshe shabbat. Shekol ma'or ha-mechuba liftilat shemen or shavan nikra ner. Wherever you've got a source of light which is attached to some sort of fuel, that's the definition of a ner. V'afkan sh'ma'or nitle b'chutei ha-chashmal nikra ner. So here you've got the wires, that, and then you've got the, or I might be referring to the filament even, and the light. And that's nev ra'u livracha. And because she came to the chovat hadlakat anerot with gas, she's lo ikha. So certainly with gas, where you've got the reservoir of fuel, a canister, and the light. The chenis kimah gam mibrodi b'shut machazeh Ephraim. So there are those who say it's acceptable. Ulam hagon Rabbi Mordechai Winkler, the shut levushe Mordechai, tlita pasak she'en yot simidei chovat hadlaka b'nerot chashmal, yitzarek liot shemen uftila davkel ikuva. That's, so you need oil or a fuel, could be wax, whatever, and a wick and a flame. And you don't have those three components in an electric light. So we've got a machloket in the Achronim. That's what's effective. Then he refers us to Rabbi Shimon Grunfeld, Pshut Maharshag, Shenishal Bazeh v'chatav lo chalom ha'davar baru b'nidon zeh. Can't answer authoritatively. Ki enin baki b'tiv ha'inyan shel or ha'chashmal. He really understands. He suggests how electricity works. V'ashkafa rishona nireli she'en yotzim bazeh yidei chovat hadlaka. He suggests maybe the definition of a flame is something which you can transfer. You can transfer a flame. That's, well, with an electric bulb, you can't transfer the flame. That's on, and that's it, but you can't transfer it. So therefore, maybe it's not got the din of ner. Says the fact that you've got illumination, that's not necessarily enough. There's certain luminous materials will provide illumination, but they don't have a din of ner. So could you get some luminous stones, place them in your Shabbos candlesticks, and say a bracha over them? Even if you say that the electricity is powered by Eish, it's no different to a glowing coal. That's what that's what a filament is. If you just to take a metal, an iron rod, heat it up in a furnace, and then hold it glowing red, nobody thinks that would count as Ner Shel Shabbat. So Rav Avadya says that he's not really understanding how electricity works. He said that himself. Actually, Chashmal has got the din of Eish. Actually, this has got a din of Eish, and that's what electricity is. And I think he makes reference to the discussion, with regard to Borei Morei Heish on Motzei Shabbat. That's what he goes on to discuss. Very famously, Reb Chaim Ozer, and I think Reb Chaim Brisker as well, that on Motzei Shabbat, they were makpid to use electric lights for the bracha borei morei heish. Why? Because in those days, people say, nah, it's not malacha to turn on a light. It's, you just flick a switch. That's not malacha. You can turn on electricity on Shabbat. And so they wanted to show, no, this is mamash eish. You can say the bracha borei morei heish over it on Motzei Shabbat. So if that's the case, then nichara, you'd be able to do the same over electric lights. So now he's referring to one of his predecessors, Rav Uziel, problem with electricity is you have power cuts all the time. על ידי קלקול בתחנת הכוח או בכבל החשמלי, נמצא מקבץ אלמן עונג שבת. ולכן אם נשים בזה ידי חובת הדלכת נרות של שבת, אני שם, זה רב עוזיה, this is putting it into its historical context. I remember when I first went to Israel, that it was regular that you had 1970s, 1980s, there were regular power cuts in Israel. So the generators were overloaded. You're all a bit younger than me. You haven't experienced, but it was standard. If you were in Israel for 2 weeks, you were bound to, over that 2 week time, you were bound to have a power cut at some stage. It was Maishim Sheba Chol Yom, if not Chol Yom, Chol Shavua. That happened all the time. So if you know, if there's a good chance your lights are going to go out, that's, I remember even when I was first in yeshiva, that's in the late 80s. You know, there were still power cuts. By the 90s, there weren't power cuts any longer. Nowadays, there aren't power cuts in Israel any more than there are here. You know, sometimes the power can go down, but, you know, it's mikre charig mod. But anyhow, Rav Uziel's concern was, seeing that there's a good chance that the lights will go out, so you can't count that as Nesher Shabbat. Ulam nireki lufi amat savka yom ein makom lachashash azu barov kuchol amakomot. Rav Avadia, and this was in the 1970s, 80s, he was saying it wasn't so relevant. Rav Uziel was, you know, in the 40s, 50s. Shein hafsakat zeh lachashmom tsuyela right litim rechokot mod. So Rav Avadia had good power. V'imban lachush lazeh hari gam b'nei shemen uptila kore lefam yushenich be'e be'em sasudah mezis. But anything can go out sometimes. So Rav Avadia thinks that's not necessary to worry about. Always better to use regular candles or oil. That's also, he says, because there's a better heker. This is Lichvod Shabbat. If you've just got the regular lights turned on, so it doesn't help you at all. And his sikkum is, so always better to use conventional materials. So interesting to say, it's some sort of keel. This is a discussion in the Achronim. You've got all the lights on in the house, right? And now you're lighting two candles at the table. That's not even Tosefet Torah. It looks kind of romantic if there's just two of you sitting down for dinner, right? But there's no Tosefet Torah. What are you achieving with that? So a number of Acharonim suggest that you should either have the lights on a time switch so they'll come on after Shabbat's come in. So you light the Shabbat candles and then a little bit later the electric lights will come on. Or that, I think this is what my wife does, is that you turn on the electric lights just before you then light your Shabbat candles, and then the bracha that you're saying is on everything. So it's on the Shabbat candles and the electric lights, and it's on everything. But he says, when you've got no alternatives, then you can use menorat chashmal, and you can say a bracha. Now, the situation has changed a little bit in recent years because LED. That most lights now are either fluorescent or they're LED. LED has not got a din of Aish. Fluorescent also hasn't got a din of Aish. Fluorescent, it might still be an issur d'oraita to turn it on Shabbat, because you create Aish when you turn it on, the spark you create when you turn it on, but that doesn't last. Then you've got no Aish there after, subsequently. LED is no Aish at all. So if you hold that there's a din in hadlaka, then you haven't got that with LED lights. So it might be that Rav Avadia's psak was, was accurate, 10 years ago, but debatable now. And Lemaisa, I think if somebody was, in a hotel room or something like that, I'd tell them they definitely got to turn on, leave a lamp on. But I would say not to say a bracha. In actual fact, Tomet in Israel, Tomet has produced electric traveling candlesticks with filament bulbs that you could use. So if you're somewhere, you know, the mitzvah of hadlakat ner shel Shabbat, you can't fulfill with unless there's some sort of aish. It might be that the dinim of oneg and kavod, you can. So by turning on the electric lights, it might be that you're mekayim the mitzvah of kavod and oneg, because kavod and oneg is to have the illumination. But you're not being...
So the rabbi said the prostate said before the ritual about the things that glow, right?
No, but that might be that, you know what? You've been mekayim the mitzvah of oneg, and there's now three things. There's kavod, oneg, and the mitzvah midivrei chachamim of hadlakat haner. So it might be that you've been mekayim kavod and you've been mekayim oneg. But Chazal demanded of you hadlakat haner. Hadlakat haner you haven't got. So, you know, in a case where you're on a ship or you're in hospital or something like that, I think you've still got a requirement to turn on the lights. I wouldn't say a bracha with LED lights, because Lechari, you haven't got Aish there, so you haven't got a din of Hadlakat HaNer. Let me just touch briefly, in the two or three minutes that we've got left, on one other question which comes up. That's a question of a person who's not at home on Friday night. That's or not eating at home. That comes up quite frequently. Where should you light candles? So if you're staying in somebody else's house, then you're someich as shulchan balabayit. You're a guest in there. Has to become part of their family for Shabbat. Min hadin, you don't need to light candles. There's a question even whether or not, if you're lighting, in the dining room, whether or not you can say a bracha, because there's light already there. The balat habayit is lighting, and if you light, then what are you achieving? So the Rama says the minhag is that we do light and we do say a bracha. Even though there's a question, tosefet Torah, you can do that. It would be better, some poskim suggest, is that seeing as it's still in your bedroom, you've got the requirement of shalom bayit, that you don't trip over things, so you need some light in the bedroom. It might be better to light in the bedroom. Again, it depends if your hosts want you lighting, candles in the bedroom. It depends where there's space, etc. Except you also might not want candles burning in the bedroom all night. So that's if you're staying with somebody. What if you're going out for Friday night dinner? So where should you light candles? So ideally, you should light at home. And light candles that will either burn long enough that they're still light when you come back. Then when you get back, sit down with a cup of lemon tea and the after eights. That's, or the Bendix, whatever it is we have now. That's, in front of the candles for a bit. That's, so you're getting some hana from them. Or that's, stay with them till it's getting dark, and then you're getting some benefit from them, and then go out to your host. Sometimes it happens that people say, listen, we're going to my parents or in-laws, whatever, we're going to walk back after dinner, we want to drive there before Shabbat, because it's a half hour walk, so we want to drive there before Shabbat. That's and certainly in the winter. So in the summer, then you've just got the question of, is that kedai to make a tanai? Or would it be better? Would it be better to light at home and make a tanai and then drive? Would it be better to light where you're eating and then and not make a tanai? But in the winter, this time of year, plug is just gone three, which is only just over half an hour before candle lighting time. So in actual fact, you could have a situation where a person wants to go to they want to drive to their in-laws and then be able to walk to shul, and they're worried Friday afternoon at 3 o'clock and the roads are pretty chock-a-block with the school traffic, so they want to leave at 2:50 so they can get to their in-laws 10 minutes before candle lighting, so then their husband can go to shul. So they're going to be leaving before plag ha-mincha. So in that case, there's grounds to say they can light and say a bracha where they're eating. They still need to make sure there's lights on at home. For that, you can use the electric lights. because that's just the consideration of Shalom Bayit, you're not going to stumble over things. So the mitzvah of Kavod Shabbat, you fulfill where you're eating by lighting the candles there. The Shalom Bayit, the Onyx Shabbat, you've got to tone with the electric lights, and that also will work.
Can you also buy lots of bags to have you in mind when you go?
That's not so poshut, because you're not living there. You're just eating a meal there. You've still got, you know, so I think in that case you've still got a chiyuv to light, you know, yourself in some way. You're going to need to light somewhere.
If you're in a hotel, is that considered the way you're living, or is it better to light where you're eating?
If you're just staying in a hotel, it will always be better to light where you're sleeping. That's as well as where you're eating. But lichara, there's going to be somebody lighting where you're eating. It can happen, you know. You invite, you know, you're going somewhere, whatever. Staying in a hotel, and you're eating with.
Even in a hotel, is it on you to light, or yeah, someone in the hotel?
But you've got everybody's got a chiv of kavod Shabbat. So the question is, you know, that what's your relationship? The fact that somebody you're staying in a hotel and you're eating at friends, and somebody downstairs in the hotel is lighting, that doesn't help you. You've got no shaykhus to them in any way. That's various, you know, discussions there. Okay, next week, Bezrat Hashem, we will learn a Chanukah sugya, and then we've got, I think, a week or two, maybe three, till break over the winter, and then we'll resume.